she stood in the street, smiling from my head to her feet. I said, hey,
we kick off hour number two of the program. We're going to get to your phone calls this segment, 865-546-8200, if you want to load up the lines. But quickly, like that final, not the final possession, but the final possession, I guess, where Tennessee had the lead. They're up 60-59. So obviously, you know, at this point, it is the right decision to run some clock. But when you're only up 1 point, like, you really need to get a great look.
Yeah, you need a basket.
Like you have to score.
At that point, points are more important than wasting some seconds off the clock.
Yeah, there's not so little time that they have to foul you. Like, you're going to have to shoot. There's a 23-second differential between shot clock and game clock, so plenty of time. And
you said game clock. Homer.
Unless you make a three, which is not this team, especially, is primary look here.
Like, I would agree with you there.
Like, you know, they're going to have an opportunity to tie anyway. So you should be doing everything you can. Like, you want to err on the side of shooting too early because it's such a great shot, you just got to take it, than getting forced into it. But we see it time and time again. Teams get up against the shot clock and don't get a good look at all. And in this situation, it was somehow even worse because most teams have their jitterbug guard out high who's super quick, wait for a ball screen, and then attack the rim and either shoot a layup, get fouled, or kick it to somebody else to take a shot at kind of at the shot clock buzzer. Well, Tennessee, the craziest thing about this is when they come out to inbound the ball, South Carolina doesn't even guard Jordan Bowden. They put a guy under the basket, and they put a guy over the ball, and they put a guy on everybody else, even the bigs. And they just let Jordan Bowden go in the backcourt and catch it. Well, then Vescovi tries to come get the basketball three separate times from Bowden, who waves him away partially once or twice, and then Vescovi's denied, and he doesn't want to turn it over. Then Fulkerson comes up to set the high ball screen a million miles from the basket, which is fine if you have a quick guard, if you have Auburn's Jared Harper last year or Jordan Bone, Tennessee, because that high ball screen gives them a kind of a two-way go to either reject the screen and kind of use it as a decoy or come around it and just start blazing towards the basket with all that space. But Jordan Bowden doesn't even try. He basically dribbles over beside Rick Barnes and then just throws it to Vescovi on the wing with like 4 seconds on the shot clock. So Vescovi has to try to do something.
People were tweeting, you know, oh, turnover Vescovi.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that he had to do something, and Bowden dribbles Kotsar right into him and then gives him the ball.
Yeah. And the 6'11 guy with four fouls reaches in and pokes it away.
It was a really good steal.
I wasn't really blaming Vescovi. I mean, he's got to do something there. And, I mean, that was basically the ball game because the ball got kicked back to Vescovi or to Kotsar. He gets fouled and makes his free throws, and now you're behind again. And now instead of having the game in complete your control, now you're down, and obviously still a bad call by the refs. But this possession doesn't impact that one if you're just kind of grading them as the possession. So it was maddening. And then Barnes, after the game, says this: I tell those guys you have to get a shot off. I don't care if it's a desperation heave. You have to get a shot off and maybe get lucky. They went zone, which, again, we have a good zone package. We got the ball where we wanted it, other than that the time that Santiago tried to dribble. I don't know why Jordan Bowden, if they want to take Santiago out, that's fine. I don't mind him at all lifting up behind. Jordan Bowden should have kept the ball, to be quite honest with you, and made the play. That's tough. We've become a better offensive team, and to not get a shot off is frustrating. It's all we talk about. We talk about special situations, late-game situations like that. You have to get a shot off. Now, I think Barnes kind of combined two possessions in his head, because South Carolina was absolutely a man-to-man on that last one that they were asking about.
They did alternate between zone and man.
But they were in
late.
Zone, yeah. The one earlier where everybody stood around and just watched. Right. And that's when Fulkerson got the ball deflected out of bounds and the review and stuff. That was a zone possession from South Carolina. That last one was man-to-man. But he's basically saying he doesn't mind if Jordan Bowden goes off a ball screen, if the guy goes under, if he rises up and shoots. But Bowden didn't even try to use that ball screen.
No.
Like, he is shook. He doesn't want to take the last shot, and he doesn't even want to drive. I mean, it's almost like, I don't want to drive this ball because I might get to the rim wide open and miss the layup. And if he was,
I'm laughing because it's sad.
If it was Josiah, it would be like, well, he's a true freshman. He's been out with a groin, da 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 da. I mean, we can make a million excuses. But when it's your senior leader, like, oh, in February, too. This isn't like a November game, right? Yeah. This isn't I mean, that just, I don't know. That really, really hurt. Let's go to the phone lines, grab John Tweet. Tweet, you're on 3 and Out. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Well, that was disappointing.
And then some.
I'm trying to think my way through it. What late game, Viscovi did something stupid, Barnes pulled him, and then for the next few possessions offensively, we were just awful.
Okay, so that was the...
What did he do that was so dumb?
It was like 6 minutes to go, right? 6 or 7 minutes?
Yeah, yeah. Somewhere in there, yeah. And then and we were up maybe 6 or 7. I have no...
Did he pick up his fourth foul?
I don't think so. I think it was a turnover.
No.
It was the hook.
The hook.
It was the hook out around half court.
That was his fourth foul, though, right?
Was that his fourth foul?
I think Billy's right.
Okay.
It was the hook, and it was his fourth foul.
Yeah, because I remember him looking over and being like, what? What did and they pulled him, and then we just the ball started just kind of, you know, I don't know, what do you call the rubber band ball, just started rolling out, whatever it is, got bigger. It just seemed like up 7 or 6 or whatever it was late versus them is like up 15. What I don't get, though, is around, if I recall, around the 3 to 4 minute mark, we stopped running offense. Like, it's like we went into waste time, you know what I mean? I don't think when we get in that mode, we just don't have anybody that, like, with 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds left on the shot clock that can just go create and get their own shot. I mean, maybe Viscovi, but, I mean, he wasn't in at that time, and I don't know. I think we're better just running our offense, and I still don't – maybe I'm an idiot, but I just don't feel like Rick does a ton late game to really, you know what I mean? You're like, oh, wow, what a set. Got a good look. It just, I remember we got one against VCU on that little play to end the game where Lamonte hit it. But other than that, I don't know, boys. It frustrates me.
I thought he did a good job trying to go offense, defense, keeping Viscovi on the bench so he didn't pick up a defensive foul and getting the stop against Carolina. I don't know if we had plays designed, and for whatever reason, they did deny Viscovi late. Like, they were not going to let Viscovi be the one to
get the ball.
So I give Frank Martin credit there, but I do wonder why Bowden, especially your senior, didn't make an attempt to make a play. He just kind of sat out there and let the clock run, and I think he was scared to make a mistake because he could have gotten that ball to Viscovi twice and didn't. And I don't know
about where he was top of the key, or like right middle of the floor. Viscovi kept trying to come get it. And
he could have got it to him on the first one, and he could have got it to him in the backcourt, and he waved Viscovi down the court like, no, they're not guarding me like they're guarding you. I'll just dribble it up. But I don't know why you wouldn't just get it in the hands of Viscovi. He was the offense. I mean, he was wheeling and dealing out there again. I know he had, what did he end up with? 4 turnovers. One, it was right there late. I think it was this possession. So he only had 3 to that point. He had 5 assists. I don't know why you don't just get it to him and let your point guard run the offense.
That's kind of my thought.
And it sounds like that's what Rick told him to do, and they didn't do it.
Yeah. Folke had that traveling call late, where he traveled top. That was crucial. I think we had like 2, like his traveling call and then 2 straight turnovers and like 3 possessions trying to win a game late. It's just,
yeah. I mean,
I don't get.
Viscovi was in the game all those 4 minutes where we were running, bleeding the clock and not getting any offense. One possession against zone defense, like they just stood around the whole time, like they got nothing going, and that's the one Josiah just ended up just shot putting the ball at the basket late for no point at all. They struggled to get into offense, but really getting the ball to Fulkerson at the free throw line on that play, like if he's able to create a little more space and get a clean pass to Pons, it's a dunk. So that would have been fine. It's just kind of what you're talking about. That's kind of hard luck that the ball got slightly that Fulkerson got kind of slapped, and then the but that late one with Bowden not doing something is the worst of. I mean, it just got worse and worse.
I tell you though, for that free throw, whatever it was that they ran, that he got as good a look as you're going to get. I would think James really should knock that down.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, he shot it weird.
It was just like the Duke one where
he always shoots it weird.
Kid hit
no,
it.
I agree. He shoots a right-handed. Like, he shoots a right-handed shot until he goes to release it. Then he twists his body and shoots it lefty. It's the weirdest thing. He did
like
it.
He's always leaning. I don't know what it is, but he never seems to be on balance, just straight up and let it go. Boys, are we even going to? Do we make the NIT at least?
At this point, yes, but
okay.
You can't lose out.
Yeah, you can't just start dropping games to Vanderbilt and Arkansas the rest of the way.
Well, Mike White sucks, so we should win that.
He's bad. Arkansas is in trouble. Auburn lost to Missouri in a game that wasn't really close. I kind of wish you had Auburn home first instead of at Auburn, because it is tough to win at Auburn right now. But I think maybe you could split the Auburn game. Obviously, the game at Rupp, I don't think anyone's counting on that one. But I also think that there's a chance now that you've got Rick said it. He's like, this is the first time in probably 2 months where we've had everybody available and at least relatively healthy. So maybe there's a chance that was I think this is obviously the South Carolina game, a game you could have and should have won. But maybe after this, we can put it together and get a little hot now that we got our whole roster. But yeah, I think they'll make the NIT.
I think James coming back hurt him. I really do. Not hurt him in that, like, you didn't have a better player on the floor.
But because he hadn't been there.
I'm not going to argue that.
I think it was I think it was a communication and a what's the word I'm looking for? Continuity. Like, it was just and Rick said it before the game. He said, we're bringing back another player into a lineup that hasn't played with him for a month. That's not as easy as it may seem. Because we've kind of developed as a team and grown as a team over the last month, and he hasn't been out there. You kind of find your stride a little bit with your roster, and then boom, here's another player. I agree with Rick Barnes that's not very easy. I also thought Josiah pressed a little bit. He was back home. He wanted to make a couple big plays for the friends and family, and late he didn't. I don't think he played poorly, and I want him to have that kind of takeover attitude moving forward. But when you haven't played in a month, probably not the best idea to try to be the hero late in the game.
Year five, boys. Year five.
Year five.
Have a good one, Tweet.
Thanks, Tweet.
We'll hit a quick break. I got to get your thoughts on what Rick Barnes said after the game.
Yeah.
About
you read some, but I
our kids.
The Fulkerson thing.
That's next, right here on Three and Out. Mm. Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. We're getting over this weekend basketball performance. And Rick Barnes did not make it any easier. Talked about what he said with the possession with 24 seconds left. And then he was asked about John Fulkerson. I think the first question was more like, were you proud of Fulkerson, the way he played, or what do you think of Fulkerson's performance, or something like that. He said, quote, you look at Fulky, he had too many turnovers. He played his heart out, but he had 6 turnovers. And I think, what, 2 or 3 charges, a couple walks? The game played probably the way I think Frank and I thought it would play. Coming down to the last possession, or last possessions, give them credit, they finished it better than we did. Follow-up question, what'd you think about the charge call on Fulkerson with 10.4 seconds left? Quote, I thought it was a clean charge. I did think that. The only thing, he got called for a gold 10. I'm curious to see when I see it myself, which I thought was big at the time. I don't know if it was or it wasn't from where I was. I wasn't sure about it. That frustrated him. John does a lot. He gets banged around a lot. He does that. And the travels, The travels are the ones when he hold the ball over too long like that, he turns it over. I'm guessing he said holds, but I don't know, maybe not. But 20 turnovers, again, I don't want to take anything away from South Carolina because we had a bunch of them that we did ourselves that they had nothing to do with.
Did he? I wish he would have rewatched the charge before saying that.
Why not just say, I don't know, I thought it was a tough call at the moment, but I'll have to watch it. It happened. I turned to my wife and I was like, I don't know about that. Like, that did not. And then we rewatched it and I was like, yeah, that. Like, as soon as it happened live on my tiny, or not tiny, but on my television screen, I was like, I don't think. I mean, it didn't look like, it looked like a very soft call live. Now, I don't know if I was the ref and I was standing right there, I don't know if I'd have called it a block or if I just let it play on. But either way, like we talked about in hour one, like he kind of had his mind made up. Like as soon as he spun, I think the officials like was waiting for it.
That's why I don't know why Barnes is saying I thought it was a, and it's because Tweet just DM'd me. He's saying he thought it was a foul live.
Right.
But so I don't.
I thought it was a clean charge. I did think that. Like he's so sure.
Well, I don't know. It's hard to read that and get the exact context I'm kind of searching for. If he's saying, I thought live it was a charge, but I'm not sure, that's one thing. But it felt like he was saying, no, it was definitely a charge, and yeah. I disagree completely. And I wish in these moments he would kind of stick up for Fulkerson, who is out-athleted, out-sized for the most part, outmassed every single time he goes out there. He just gave you 25 points. Yeah, he turned the ball over a couple times, but he also was your offense. The goaltend, I think they got him for slapping the backboard because I don't think he actually touched the ball.
Is that why he was so mad?
I think so, yeah. But if you touch the backboard while the shot's going up, it's a basket interference goaltend. Mm. So maybe that was the call.
Yeah,
I don't think he touched the ball.
I thought they called him for touching the ball after it hit the backboard, but I couldn't tell on the replay if he had touched it or not. I like to look at that. Do you remember what point in the game that was?
No.
That was first half, right?
No, second half.
Was it second half?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
But yeah, I don't remember. I don't know. I just
don't understand Rick Barnes' problem with taking up for your guys.
I don't either.
Like Dean Smith.
Last year he was the same way.
I mean,
he wouldn't really stick up for him.
The classic Dean Smith quote is, when you lose, you take the blame. When you win, you give the players the credit. And part of taking the blame in losses is to at least say, yeah, I'm not sure about that call. We'll have to go look at it. It was on the other side of the floor. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was on the non-Rick Barnes side of the court. Like, just say, I want to watch the film before I answer this question, if you
right,
want to.
Right.
You don't have to say, yeah, the ref's terrible. You don't have to get fined. But, like, to basically, I mean, he did this with Lamonte Turner.
Mm.
Last year he could have said, well, yeah, I wish Lamonte hadn't taken the chance to get that called, but I don't know if it was a good call or not. I want to watch the tape.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Philip Fulmer used to do all the time. Anything he wasn't sure about, got to watch the tape. And I don't think any fan minds that. Like, we want to go back. We watched the replay immediately to see if our eyes deceived us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. And I get it. Like, Rick Barnes is not one to lie. He's going to tell the truth. And I guess in this moment, that's why I'm wondering, is he just saying live, yes, I thought
it was. He kind of got sold the way the ref did. He kind of got fooled.
Right. Because I think if you rewatch that, and I get it, man, it's happening fast out there. The ref's angle was from behind, kind of behind and to the left of the play, so it probably looks a little different to him than it does to us. And I don't think he's watching that guy the whole time kind of sneak in. He just, he sees the guy flying backwards and calls the foul. I just wish Rick would watch that again before kind of, again, throwing Fulkerson under the bus saying, yo, yeah, it was definitely a charge. And Fulkerson needs to play better. It's like, well, why is it Fulkerson that needs to play better when Bowden gave you 5 points? When Jalen Johnson started and didn't register a point? When Plavich came in and gave you 2 minutes, 3 turnovers, and 2 fouls? Like,
It was just jumped in the lane.
And I realized he was being asked about Fulkerson, but it was weird to say, yeah, if John had done a little more on his career best night, we would have won. It's like, okay, well, what? Bowden was 1 of 7. Your bench gave you, well, because James came off the bench, you got 11 points from your bench. But if it was him in place of Johnson, your bench would have given you 2 points.
Good Lord.
Devontae Gaines.
Yeah, Fulkerson had over 33% of your scoring. Like, I don't want to.
And he was 8 of 12. I mean, he shot well. And then he was only 9 of 14 from the free throw line, which is kind of uncharacteristic. But our whole team, both teams shot like junk from the free throw line.
You still shot better from the free throw line than South Carolina did.
True. I mean, barely. We're talking.
But it's.
I mean, yeah, barely. I don't know. That was just kind of weird. And I don't know. When he said that, like, I just had flashbacks to all the UCLA stuff. And it's like, sometimes just don't say anything.
Yeah.
You don't have to sit here in sunshine pump and say, oh, yeah, the refs blew it. They cost us the game. Like, that's our job. We can do that. But don't. I don't know. It just. You got a chance to stick up for your guys. And didn't Fulkerson kind of echo that after the game? Like, I have to do better. Like, I feel bad that he has to be put in that position. Like, you just had your career night. You're supposed to be celebrating having a career night with a victory. It's okay to say, yeah, I didn't think that was a charge.
And all,
or, man, that's a weird time to call that.
And all turnovers are not created equally.
Not at all.
I mean, when some of the guys in
like
the first...
Like, a travel is not a pass intercepted for a layup. It's
right.
Just, it's very, very different.
That's why I didn't have a problem with a lot of Vescovi's turnovers his first couple games.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have a problem.
I had a problem because he was still doing those, and then you're getting an additional. I mean, when he has 9 turnovers, that's too many. But he's gotten rid of those.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he had another.
Some of the ones where he
the hook or whatever,
thrown
in the
it out of bounds,
yeah.
Like that. And especially, like you said, like a live ball turnover, where you throw it to the defender, and he's off to the races.
It's another if you step out of bounds on the baseline versus giving them an easy layup with a horrible pass.
And committing a charge, I feel like, at least when I coached basketball, committing a charge was the most forgivable turnover in the book.
Yeah, like, I mean, unless
score,
it's just
you're attacking
stupid.
The basket,
right,
unless you're completely out of control. I mean, like, that was kind of the one you could at least see the. You're always telling your kids to attack, attack, attack. Well, when they attack and aren't perfect,
hustle fouls, hustle turnovers, they're very, very different. Yeah, then lazy passes, right? I mean, they're opposite ends of the spectrum.
What bothers me the most is that these guys can't even line up and try to execute what's called. Barnes asked another follow-up question about the 30 seconds left play that he'd already answered one.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we wanted to be in a high ball screen, get downhill. Right? He's telling,
mm-hmm.
We hurt them throughout the game with that action. He didn't. Talking about Bowden, because Bowden was in the question. He dribbled straight to Santi and put Santi in a tough situation.
I agree.
Where Jordan has...
He said that.
Where Jordan has been in enough games there, if they want to take Vescovi out, he has to make a play. He gave it to Santi. He tried to split the defense and lost it. We would have liked to see Jordan wave him off and him make the play.
Well, that's what was so weird is he did wave him off.
Yeah.
And then was like, no, 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 I've changed my mind. Come get it. Well, then don't wave him off. And then don't not pass him the ball the first time he comes up there when you can easily get it to him.
And like, not try and get to the basket when you get a ball screen. He got a ball screen and didn't even use it. Just kind of, dribbled over it,
but
didn't do anything.
Yeah, but then he just lobs around out there at the 3-point line instead of turning the corner and going. I don't know if it was because it was to the left and he's right-handed. I have no idea.
His ability to play so below the range I thought he would play within this year has cost this team any chance of
making
the NCAA
tournament.
And
that's not even just shooting.
Right.
That's everything. It's attacking. It's defense at times. It's running the offense. I mean, there's slumps and then there's regression, and this is now both, which is baffling to me.
I like to think last year was his final season as a Vol.
Just RIPing this whole
season.
Yeah,
like it's just like I'm just trying to just erase him from my memory for this year because it's like I don't want to remember him this way because it was such a good run.
Ironically, though,
it's like
the hometown
gets old.
He's averaging more. He was in double figures. I think he was averaging 14 points a game the last six. No, I know. I'm just saying, like, he was still giving you something. He didn't give you anything in this game.
Jeez.
Absolutely nothing.
He's taking so many shots to get it, though. Like, even
that's what I'm saying, yeah. I mean, I realize that. I'm just saying, like, his technically he is scoring almost 2.5 points more per game. But, yeah, shots are – I mean, it's actually amazing that he's scoring more at all considering his three-point percentage has dropped by 12 points. 12 points.
That's incredible.
His field goal percentage has dropped by 9.
You know, in when you take a bunch of stats classes, they try and tell you that, like, shooters don't get hot or cold. Like, it's just natural variability, and we're just so human, we think it's hot or cold, and they're always going to, like, regress to their actual number. This is why I think that's complete BS. Like, no. He was a better shooter last year. Like, something is different.
This is his worst season.
Yeah.
He went from three, or excuse me. So from three, 31% as a freshman to 39.5, 37.8 last year to 25.9.
I mean, he shouldn't even be taking them.
Mm-mm. I mean, this his field goal percentage is worse than his freshman year by half a point, but it's worse. I mean, he's taking that many more shots, to your point. It's not good. I don't know what happened to him. I don't buy the, oh, he's getting the best defender from the... He misses wide-open shots.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. Shots at the rim. Like, I mean, you've said it. It's not just threes.
It's layups. It's everything.
It's incredible. Let's go to the phone lines and get Vern. Vern wants to weigh in on Jordan Bowden. What's up, Vern?
Hey, just a thought. Is the loss of both Grant and Admiral and even Bone actually bringing to light all of Bowden's flaws versus, quote-unquote, how great of a player he was? Because in that offense last year, he only had one role. Hey, hit the, you know, the spot-up jumper and, you know, get to the glass when you can, versus now, hey, we need you to score at a clip of, you know, 20 a game and give us, you know, 5 to 8 assists, you know, if possible, because we don't have anybody returning that is essentially worth the lick.
I don't know. I mean, obviously he was going to have to do more this year, but I don't think you needed to get 20 points from him a game. You just need 10 and not taking 30 shots to get there. That's what's amazing is, like, he's having to do more, but his efficiency has gone incredibly down.
But I think that's kind of factored in with, like, due to the loss of, you know, Grant and Admiral. Like, yeah, we expected him to do more because they were gone, but if you turn the page, like, hey, without those two guys there, you know, one, scoring, and two, taking probably the two best defenders, I mean, it's going to be a whole lot harder for him to get his numbers that he needed to get, even if it is 10.
Thanks for the call, Vern. Yeah, my thing, though, is, like, I would expect that to be more difficult. Like, I agree with you, Vern, but it's the drop. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, by every player kind of has a range where here's a really good game, top of their range. Oh, really bad game. That's one of the worst games they've played, bottom of their range. And then most games are in between somewhere. The performances Jordan Bowden's put up this year have been so bad, like, I wouldn't have thought any circumstance could cause him to play that poorly. I mean, it's not like he's being asked to handle the ball now that Vescovi, I mean, you know, sometimes, but
occasionally, yeah, to get it across half court.
But they came into the year treating Josiah like the backup point guard, even with Lamonte in. Like, Bowden was never asked to change positions. Now, he might draw a tougher defender different nights with different teams, but as you've mentioned, it doesn't really matter. Like, he's getting
layups,
quality layups, and can't finish them. And then what's the most astonishing, and I think this is the point we're trying to make, is that he doesn't even want to try anymore. Like, he doesn't want to try.
Yeah, he's shook. Like, he himself realizes, I think, now he's in the slump, and now he's playing into it even more by not attacking the basket, not taking open shots, not working harder to get easier looks because he's afraid he'll miss them. It really is like he's spiraling down, and I don't know how you get him out of it at this point. I mean, maybe the addition of, you know, maybe now that we're a full lineup and you get Josiah back in the starting lineup, maybe he feels a little bit less pressure. I do think with Vescovi and Josiah, you're going to see over the next 6 games Bowden get those looks, because I think people are now realizing, why are we going to waste our best defender on Jordan Bowden? So now I think it will open up for him a little bit more. I mean, South Carolina didn't guard him.
Yeah.
So now can he snap back in, you know, out of this slump and into what we thought maybe he could be? Or is this just going to be a pity party for himself? And now that he doesn't have the best defender, he still takes himself out of the game because he's feeling sorry for himself.
Well, and the problem for Tennessee, I had a team one time that we couldn't shoot very well, and teams kind of figured it out during the year.
Yeah.
And it just got worse and worse and
that
worse.
That seems like what's happening with us.
Because the man-to-man team started just packing it in more and laying off anybody that couldn't shoot, and we could get nothing easy. I mean, if it wasn't in transition, it was going to be tough for us to score. Mm-hmm. And the zone teams would just pack in their zone and sit there and just dare us to shoot, and it was just like, oh, man. I mean, there's nothing more frustrating than having a wide-open shot and either having a kid that you have told not to take it, just stand there and not take it, and you can't get a good look, or having a kid you've told to take it and miss it, time in, time out in games where you can't quite get over the hump. And there were times where I'm like, I don't know why South Carolina is guarding Josiah James out there. He can't hit the shot from – I mean,
he was 2 of 3 from three.
He took a three in rhythm and nailed it, and I was like, well, that's – you know, maybe that's a positive sign moving forward. But I still think there's going to be bad teams that can lay off of certain guys with Tennessee and just kind of – That makes it really hard for Pons and Fulkerson to get things done around the basket. Yeah.
Which is amazing that they were still able to do that. I mean, Pons had 13.
Yeah, and Fulkerson
25.
Career high 25. He's asked after the game about the charge call. He goes, I'm not sure. I kept asking people if it was a charge. If it was, I really hate that for myself because I feel like I'm better than that and I don't need to put myself in that position. I think that turnovers for myself and missed free throws really dictated the game. I think if I don't turn it over and I make my free throws, we win this game easily. I really put this all on myself.
Yeah.
Missing free throws is something that should not happen. The stupid walks and travels and charges, that is something you can definitely take care of. I have to be better myself, really. Coming into the game, we knew it was going to be a hard-fought game. Coach Martin and his team do a good job. Yeah, 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 yeah. I think our team really was ready to play. I'm with you. He could have made more free throws. Yeah, he could have not
so
traveled.
So could everybody else.
Like, come on.
Yeah, I'm all for tough coaching, but sometimes, like, give it a rest. Like, I don't want it to be like the JG thing, because we ripped him after the Georgia State game for saying, like, yeah, I did some stuff good, some stuff bad. Like, I do appreciate Fulkerson realizing, like, hey, you know, 9 for 14 isn't good enough, or, you know, 6 turnovers obviously isn't good enough, but he was obviously the best player out on the court.
Yeah, like, and that's what – I don't know, it doesn't break my heart. I hate that he had the best game of his career and has to come in there and, I guess probably because of what his coach said, felt like, yeah, it is on me.
Well, I always go, now that I like hear Fulkerson in post games and I watch him play, like I always go back to the story that you told where that kid on campus walked by him and was like, hey, you played a really good game. Or, you know, maybe you told it. And Folky's like, ah, thanks, man. No one ever tells me that. Like, he's balling out this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you can – so I got a DM. Is UCLA Rick ever going to take any responsibility for this team's lack of execution? And my response is no. Like, he breeds accountability with his players by blaming them for failure because he wants them to get on each other. He wants – and when you have a team with really strong leaders like last year, that works to a degree. Like, you get Grant and Admiral and those guys getting on to each other – getting mad at each other sometimes, and it breeds this family atmosphere where they're really tough in big moments, and he gets this player-led team. But sometimes I think you can push that over the line too far, and it really annoys me just as a fan to hear that answer about Fulkerson where he's like, yeah, I thought it was a clean charge, and he had too many turnovers, and da-da-da-da, basically making Fulkerson feel like he was the problem. And then they ask him about South Carolina's Matt Kotsar, and Rick Barnes goes,
yeah, I love that guy.
I love him. Mm. I love him. I told him that. I didn't reread that. He said it twice. I love him. I love him. I told him that. I've enjoyed him. I don't know if we'll play against him again. I've enjoyed competing against him as much as any player in my team at Tennessee. How much he's developed.
Time, right?
Yeah, I guess. It says team. But
I'm sure that was
team.
Yeah.
Just learn to type, boys. I know, to me, he's turned into what Frank wants from a player. So, like, he's matured. What? Kotsar's a junior. Like, I don't know. Is he transferring? Like, yeah, Rick, you're going to get him again next year. Like,
thought he was a senior.
I don't know. We looked it up, and he was a junior, I thought, which was weird because I felt like he's been there for 8 years. But anyway, when Rick Barnes is loving the guys on the other team and hating his own guys, didn't he tell Frank Martin that one time last year? He's like, yeah, it's our guards. If our guards would show up and play, like we could be pretty, we could be really good.
Yeah. Kotsar's a senior.
Okay. Well, they got a
He's Estonian.
That makes more sense then. I guess we got an outdated roster on Friday.
I'm not ready to run Rick Barnes out of town, but that
it's just annoying.
No, yeah, it just
annoying's the right word.
I didn't like it. It didn't make me feel good. In fact, it was the opposite.
If you compare his numbers to Folky, Folky has better numbers basically across the board. Not just in that game, like for the season.
Yeah. It's just
so what I mean, where's the development there? Where's the praise for the development there? I mean, Davey said it like 6 games ago that Folky should have a look at first team all SEC because of how well he's playing.
But it's his fault. We couldn't run offense the last 4 minutes of the game, but if John Fulkerson hadn't missed those free throws in the first half, we'd be all right.
We'll come back. Final segment, hour two. We will transition away from basketball at some point.
Well, it was a big weekend in the SEC. We can look at some of the other games.
That sounds like a plan. And
then I'll brag about my Roughnecks for probably the last hour.
Stick with us. Final segment, hour number two. Take a spin around the SEC. Alabama got a huge, huge win over LSU. We've decided what Arkansas's done. They keep talking about Arkansas being in, and it's like, I don't think they're going to be in.
Yeah,
boys.
No. Both Lenardi and Palm still have them in right now, but I just don't know how they get in without Isaiah Joe.
Have they updated over the weekend?
Or without winning some games.
Yeah, the winning.
Well, they were down. Mississippi State, I think, had a 17-point lead.
Yeah.
And almost lost. Like, it took a, I want to say the final basket for the Bulldogs went in with 0.6 seconds left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Palm still has them in as of 7:07 a.m. this morning.
Whew. Kind of tough when they've lost four in a row and five of their last six and seven out of their last nine games. Like, you've lost 7 out of 9, and you're still in the tournament. At 8-10 in conference, well, projected to finish 8-10 in conference play by Jerry Palm, they're currently 4-8. 4-8 in the SEC.
I don't know how they're in over Mississippi State, really. I guess strength of schedule, but man.
Yeah, I mean, they've been swept by them now, right? Like, what, like, how does that even, like, somebody's not paying attention. Mississippi State's 7-5 in conference play. 16-9 overall, you know, a sweep over Arkansas. I guess Florida's their best win, but it was on the road. That's pretty good.
Arkansas and Florida play tomorrow.
I do think that happens sometimes with the bracketologists. They get so set on a team being in that it's hard for them to make the jump. If they've been in all season, it's tough for them to bump them out. But there's no way Arkansas's in if the tournament started today.
No.
And it's definitely trending the other way the more they lose. But the weirdest game of the weekend in the SEC was Missouri 85, Auburn 73. Missouri led the whole way.
They were up 13 at the half. 1 by 12.
Xavier Pinson, 28 points. 5 assists.
Told you a double digit loss was coming. We were just hoping it was going to come against Tennessee.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we knew they were going to be.
Ole Miss almost got Kentucky.
They were in the second half, yeah.
They tried. Made a game of it.
Good effort.
Alabama defeats LSU.
That one's 88-82. Alabama led at least the part of the second half I saw. I mean, they were up big at halftime, and then LSU actually closed it all the way down and just couldn't quite get over the hump.
Kira Lewis Jr., 27 points for the Tide. They hit
Kyra.
Yeah. Kyra, like Elsie. How many threes did they hit in this one? 15? Was it just 13? After they hit 22 in a loss to Auburn last week.
How many did they shoot that one? 50?
59, I believe. It was 59.
We have games where they don't take 59 shots.
This last game was one of them, I'm pretty sure. I think 48? Yeah.
Yeah, Bama was 22 of 59 and then 13 of 35.
13 of 35. Texas A&M beats Georgia by 5. Georgia may not win another SEC game, which makes literally no sense to me.
There's the difference in coaching right there, Buzz Williams versus Tom Crean. In my opinion.
Fair. Still makes me mad we lost to both of those teams. And then Florida takes care of Vanderbilt, 84-66. Jerry Stackhouse gets tossed after a profanity-laced tirade against the officials after a no-call in which one of his players got hurt. Is how he just said, I'm done. Apparently he's not recruiting still. I think he's got one foot out the door and just decided I'm just going to go hit the showers. He did wear a green suit. He looked like the Riddler.
With the green tie. I'm looking at the picture right now.
I hope Vandy does not call Steve Forbes.
Ooh, let's not even talk about that.
Oh, we can't have another coach in the conference where we're like, damn it.
Please, no. Please, no.
I mean, he's been incredible at ETSU. And
no, I understand the whole, like, I understand the appeal. I just don't really want.
He loves Tennessee too much to take that job. He's waiting. He's waiting in the weeds.
Need Vanderbilt to just hire another loser.
Well, they're on a pretty good track record of that recently, so we'll just sit back and wait. But yeah, Vanderbilt now 1-11 in conference play. One win being over LSU, who at the time had not lost in conference play and has now lost a few. Right? They've lost three now. Have they lost three out of their last four or five? LSU, they're on a little bit of a skid.
Yeah, three.
Did you see, though, that Shaq's son is transferring to LSU?
Sharif.
Yeah, where was he before?
UCLA, I think.
Mm-hmm. It was initially Arizona, then UCLA, and now it will be LSU.
Okay. Has he played for those teams?
Like, I don't think he played for Arizona.
Okay. Stackhouse must realize the Vanderbilt season will be over by St. Patrick's Day, so he might as well wear this suit now.
Okay.
Pretty good tweet. Mm. That was not me, that was just somebody on Twitter.
What's worse, this run by Vandy in basketball or the one they had in football?
Gotta be basketball, right?
Yeah, because I mean, they beat the number one team in the league.
Yeah, at least they got something.
At the time. Yeah, LSU's going to drop out of the top 25 after their recent skid.
Sad. You really, really hate to see it.
I mean, the SEC is going to go from looking pretty
solid. What, five or six teams in to two?
Well, and the seeds are even falling.
Three,
you know?
I think, yeah.
Only three? Well, Florida's looking like they'll be in.
Give it time.
Just a real quick, Sharif, yeah, he never played for Arizona. He's got one season at UCLA where he's played in 13 games and averaged 10 minutes and 2.2 points a game.
I'll say this. Florida's at 16-9. To your point, they get Arkansas, which they probably should win that one. Then they're at Kentucky, LSU, at Tennessee, at Georgia, home against Kentucky.
My bold prediction is Florida makes the Sweet 16.
Palm has them beating Arkansas.
I don't think they make the tournament.
Losing at Kentucky. I think you'd agree with both of those.
Mm-hmm.
He has them beating LSU at home.
Interesting.
Then losing here to our Vols.
Hmm.
Then winning at Georgia and winning at home against Kentucky to finish 11-7 in league play, which would get them to 19-12 overall.
And that's in?
I don't know. Allegedly? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I would think a fourth SEC team gets in, and it's probably just the one that's finishes out conference play.
Whoever's the best of the worst.
But it could be Alabama. I mean, if they. I mean, who knows? I'd have to kind of check all this. I mean, hell, it could be South Carolina with their easy schedule down the stretch. I think LSU was their last hard game, and they're sputtering.
That's true. We looked at their schedule. It's cake the rest of the way.
Yeah, Alabama has A&M, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Missouri. Alabama projected to win six of their last seven.
If you're looking at net, believe
this. Wait, who?
Alabama.
Oh, I thought you said Vanderbilt. I was like, excuse me?
No. This was updated, I believe, through games of yesterday. And for the SEC, you have Kentucky at 24, Auburn 25th, LSU 29th, Florida 35. Yeah, they're the 35th, and Alabama 36th.
What's crazy about South Carolina is they could go 3-3 down the stretch and finish with the same records as Florida. 19-12, 11-7. They're 8-4 in the league now.
Mm-hmm.
The league standings make no sense.
Weird year for the SEC.
I think it's college basketball as a whole.
I agree with that.
Like, I mean, if you were to say, who's the one team you want to put your money on that you have a really, you feel like, not even just that they'll win it all, but like they'll make the Final Four. It's really hard to even find a team there.
Zaga, that's
Kansas.
I'd probably lean more towards Gonzaga than Kansas, but neither are bad.
Every
picks.
Time I go to the, you know, basketball page on my bookie, they still have the championship odds up like first, and then mm-hmm. you have to click over to get to the games. And every time I look at those, I'm like, there's no way in hell I would pick a team to win the whole thing this year. Yeah. Like, I just can't. All the odds are so, I don't know, maybe it may be smart to pick three teams, right? And like that are long enough odds where you make money if any of the three win. I don't know.
Early in the year, I thought Louisville would be really good. And I mean, they're still a good team, but they had a really bad loss to Clemson over the weekend. They fell from the top spot in the ACC.
Well, also Georgia Tech, too, right?
Yeah, they've lost two in a row.
And San Diego State's still undefeated. They're not even playing close games right now. They have wins over Utah State, two wins over Utah State, Iowa and Creighton, and BYU. So, I mean, they've beat some really quality teams.
They're number one in the net.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, Baylor second, Gonzaga third, Kansas fourth, Dayton fifth.
They'll probably be the first one seed out of the tournament.
They'll probably lose to the eight. Northern Iowa, here we go.
They don't have them ranked that high.
Has West Virginia dropped like five in a row?
They just beat Kansas that one time in the tournament, 1-8 game.
You want to talk about teams just like going
free fall?
Yeah.
It's going to be nutty, man.
Talk about free fall. Michigan State, 7 seed. I called that like weeks ago.
Keep losing, huh? The SEC standings, Kentucky now leads 10-2. Hey, good news for Tennessee. I mean, you're one big shot to go into Rupp Arena and just shock the world. Let's go. They're 20-5 overall. Mm-hmm. Auburn's now 9-3 after that loss to Missouri. They're 22-3 overall. LSU tied with them in second place at 9-3. 18-7 overall. That's the thing. Like LSU, like I mean, I think they're gonna make it, but they're quickly falling to the big middle bulge of the NCAA tournament instead of being a team that gets an advantage with a seed line to start. Florida and South Carolina tied for fourth at 8-4.
West Virginia, Davey, has lost three in a row, four of their last six.
Okay.
Wins over Iowa State and Kansas State. They've lost at Texas Tech, at Oklahoma, Kansas at home, and then at Baylor.
It's not bad losses, though.
No, I mean, at Baylor, it's tough.
We'll shift gears, come back.
Is Baylor actually good?
Yeah.
They'd be one of your teams you bet on?
Maybe. Kickoff hour 3 next.